This is Tell Me More, the Sunday magazine on 101.1 More FM, WBEB Philadelphia. I'm Emily Scheibert. Good morning. This week, Dancing from the Heart with Michael Nickerson Rossi, the acclaimed dancer and choreographer who is creative director of dance for the Nickerson Rossi Dance Company, the resident dance company at Westchester's new Uptown Theater. In this edition of Tell Me More, Michael Nickerson Rossi made a name for himself in the L.A. dance scene and is also creative director of the Palm Springs Dance Festival. When Westchester opened its new Performing Arts Center, Nickerson Rossi saw an opportunity to have an East Coast venue for his style of dance, which reflects an intricate mixture of artistic movement and emotional freedom. Nickerson Rossi began dancing as a troubled young adult who'd suffered personal loss. He found that dance became a way to heal and connect with others. Michael is passionate about the company's outreach program entitled Understand, which is an educational platform for mentally and physically challenged youth who will be part of a special dance event now in the planning stages, performing alongside professional dancers. Nickerson Rossi has also opened the newly built Conservatory, a 10,000-square-foot dance facility in Westchester, where he teaches young dancers to train at their highest potential. Well, Michael, welcome to Tell Me More. Great to meet you.
Thank you so much. Great to meet you, Emily.
How long have you been interested in music and in dance specifically?
Once I found that it was a healing art for myself, the two paralleled, and they were quite a great marriage between the two. Interestingly enough, when I first got introduced to dance, I was hugely inspired by the musical component. And now that years have passed, and I'm now a choreographer and director of a company, I always inform everyone that music is now secondary to my craft and movement is now primary, which in the beginning, it was the opposite.
How did that transformation occur?
You know, I didn't allow the music anymore to dictate the feeling that I was having when I was creating movement. And I wanted music to have this back tone in terms of how the dance was going to be composed, and I just allowed the creativity to flow, but I always wanted the music to be there as more of a cuddle blanket and then create the movement within the feeling that I'm getting, but not allowing the music to dictate the actual composition of the phrasing.
I think most of us who are fascinated by dance wonder what it feels like to be inside that body that can move so freely and beautifully. It looks effortless when it's done well, but there's a lot of work involved in getting to the point where it looks effortless. Talk about the process that you had as a dancer and that you have as a choreographer.
Great. Yeah, indeed. The process is you have to maintain this instrument at its highest potential, and there's so much dedication to that, certainly. A lot of it is diet and training and the proper training, keeping your machine at its most top form. And that's everything from the technical aspect to just the performance quality. And when I say performance quality, I mean even though you're pausing for a moment and you're actually not physically moving, but you're alive and the energy in your body is still really erect and ever so present. And that's a huge thing to constantly foster and grow as an artist. You know, I sit there and I watch young dancers and the abuse somewhat of what they put themselves through. And there's a truth to that because, you know, dance isn't in terms of how it's designed and how we torque our bodies in different positions to create the beautiful imagery. There's some trouble there, but I always inform our people and people who study under me that proper training is number one. And that's, you know, listening to your teachers in terms of how they direct, not abusing your knees, number one. You'll see nowadays that just these very young, beautiful dancers will come crashing down on their knees from a huge jump. And immediately, I think anyone that would see that would know that that's unsafe. But you can be unsafe if you're wise with how you move.
We've all seen those movies where it's depicted the behind-the-scenes look, the pulling back of the curtain into the world of professional dance. And we've seen some pretty dark portrayals of what that's like. But you are referencing that there's work and there's injury and there's pain that goes into creating this beautiful art form.
Mm-hmm.
Is it worth it? Is it that moment when you're dancing, when you're exhilarated and full of adrenaline and connecting to the audience? I mean, what is it that would motivate somebody to dig into an art that does require such rigorous training and then, you know, a lot of sacrifice?
Mm-hmm. Sacrifice is it. I think for myself and others, dance is a lifetime commitment, regardless of what is ailing you at the particular moment. This reminds me of a dear friend of mine, Catherine Kabim, and she is a Martha Graham alum and also Bill T. Jones alum. And I had seen her create and choreograph her work, and it was titled Left. And I was interested in seeing, I had no idea what the work was going to be. When I saw it on stage, she did the whole piece where her arm was in a sling. Then I figured it out. Her left arm is bound to her body, and she kept choreographing because she had to. It was her job. She taught at, you know, Marymount College in New York, and so it was just, how does the body keep going when you are injured? And the silver lining of all of this is that we still can be creative and create a beautiful work. And she titled it Left because her arm was broken because she was on her bike and she hit a pothole and toppled over and had really injured her collarbone. So it was filled with metal, but you would never know because her gorgeous legs and the way her body responded, but holding her left arm so tightly up against her chest was very, very awe-inspiring as someone who was injured and performed in front of a full audience and would never even know that she was injured.
Does the love of dance just overtake you? Do you just get consumed by it at some point if you're headed down a path of pursuing it professionally?
I feel that, yes. I mean, for myself, it has. It's completely consumed my thoughts and my desire, my insatiable desire to maintain the professional status of dance. You know, there's a point where you transition from dancer to artistic director. And I think we need to really honor that when that comes, because that's a privilege. We're wise enough, we're older, we're more experienced. We have so many things now in our toolbox in terms of how we move on as an artist. And I do welcome that. I'm 38 and I'm in great shape. I can still move and create. And I don't have any aches that will prohibit me from doing what I love. So I will always continue doing what I love.
Did you know this was the destination you were headed for? Did you always see yourself as an artistic director and choreographing when you were maybe finished with your performance career for the better part?
You know, I love that you brought this up because dance is so different for everyone. It's personal in terms of how we're introduced. I was introduced to dance therapeutically. I had lost my parents at 17, my mother first, and then my father was 3.5 years later. And I was on a farm, and I was a farm boy with dirt bikes and things like that. So I was introduced to the art form in a very emotional way. And I couldn't speak. I just verbally couldn't express what it was that I was feeling, when really what I was experiencing was a lot of grief. I just didn't know how to get it out of me in a verbal way. And when I saw it on a stage, I was immediately drawn to it. And from then on, I just kept taking class because it was healing me. And then once I realized that this is my life journey and my passion, I went full speed ahead. Didn't look back once. And from professional dancer, I went into creative director. And now I run the company, Nickerson Rossi Dance. And I was creative director of dance at the Annenberg Theater in Palm Springs, is where I really initiated. And then I came east. And the reason for coming east was because we have a beautiful brand new theater that was built in Westchester. And my company is a resident dance company, and I act as the creative director of dance for the programming. And then just recently, I now have the Nickerson Rossi Conservatory as of 3 weeks ago. So now we have a school that I manage and run artistically. We have a brand new theater that I create the programming for. And the festival, which is the Palm Springs Dance Festival in Palm Springs, California. And I act as the creative director of dance for that particular program.
You have gone on to become a teacher and an artistic director. What level of satisfaction does that give you? How is it different from being a performer? What does it feel like to be the one who's kind of conducting the orchestra, so to speak?
Very good imagery. You know, for me, I look at these young people. And when I say young, I mean, it could vary in terms of younger than me is really what I mean. And I flash back to, as I just said a couple seconds ago, of how I was introduced to dance. And it was the art form that really just sifted through my body that made me want to experience what that was I was feeling on the inside. So why I'm drawn to it is because I want to give that gift back. If I can be available for someone who is experiencing on any level of what I was, and if I am the outlet for them to find that healing power, that's my goal. And that's, my goal is met when that is there. And it's just so rewarding and fulfilling as a teacher. And as an artist, it's a whole nother thing. But as a teacher mentor, that's the true reward.
You talked about having had a lot of loss as a young person and working through some of that grief and pain through dance and music and the arts. Can you tell me if that was a conscious thing? Did you know as you were learning to dance and enjoying that world, did you know that you were healing? Or at some point, did you just turn around and say, you know, realize you were feeling better? Or was it a conscious thing from the beginning that dance was helping you?
You know, you've heard that term, leave it at the door. And that's, you know, it's a very common term. And it's so cliche in what I'm going to say, but I felt every time I walked into the studio, my burdens were left at the door. The minute I walked in to work as a dancer and to feel this alive feeling again that I had lost myself. So I didn't notice it right away. I just noticed that I felt better. I didn't think about the troubles that I was actually in the midst of. And when the class ended and I would walk out, I was still on that high for a good couple hours of how I would feel. And then, of course, the weight of the world would get back to you. But again, when I would go right back into class, I would just forget everything. So it took some time to really realize the benefits of what I was experiencing. But now that I've identified with it, I went full speed ahead and I just went with it. Never looked back.
I think that benefit is sometimes overlooked when people talk about the value of the arts. I think sometimes the arts are viewed as something extra, something special, but not essential. And really what you're describing is something quite essential. I mean, it's something that touches our souls. It's not just a form of entertainment. You know, for a lot of people, it's their lives. It's their reason to get up in the morning. Mm-hmm. And people feel that. I mean, that's the genius. When you see it performed on stage, that's what you're feeling. That's part of the reason it's so uplifting to be in the audience watching artists at their best. is because a part of their soul has been changed and they're sharing that with you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it's like?
Very much. You really nailed it in terms of how one is just taken by the art form itself, whether it is music or dance or artwork or a painting. I think it hits people in a way that's just irrefusable, and it is a lifeline, and that doesn't need to be overlooked. And you know, we're not hobbyists. People don't just do this because it's fun. People do it because it is them. They identify as that art form, and they want to inspire the world and create change, because change is always good. It's such a benefit. We must look at ourselves and change on every imaginable way. And I think artists are the ones that can really dive deep and create and cause change.
They often say when a culture is in distress that, you know, you look to the artists in those troubled times to lift us up, to direct us, to sort of feel for us. And I think that's often true.
Mm-hmm.
You are now teaching and mentoring others and helping young people sort of share in this glorious experience of being in the arts, and dance in particular. What is a good young dancer? What do you look for when you see somebody who is it desire? Is it a gift? Is it a combination of the two? What makes a good dancer?
You know, this is a wonderful subject, what you just said. I think for me, there's two different roads that we can go. What makes a wonderful dancer is the heart. You can have an incredible heart for the art form, and they are just giving everything that they have in this an emotional quality. They may not be technical or, you know, suited as a common typical dancer, but their heart is the actual heartbeat of the dance. Then if you look to your right, and then you see a technical, very efficient, totally sound machine who is a dancer, that's a brilliant tool to have to work with as a choreographer. But now if you put the two together, imagine what that is. So how do you offer those sides to each other? I think as the artist and teacher and mentor, it's our duty to really give light on how we can share and how we can grow together and how we can offer that for both individuals. Because for me, when I first got into dance, I didn't have the technical abilities. You know, I didn't have anything dance related, but I felt it in my body. There was a physiological change that was happening. I just didn't know how to explain it. It wasn't until then that I had the great mentors that really trained me into a technician dancer. And then we learned together how to put the two mediums, and then here's the artist. So for me, I see that, and that's my duty, is to really blend this beauty of technician and full loving heart as an artist, and grow and foster and always, always guide and give opportunities.
Talk, if you would, about the work you're doing with kids now, with younger people, and why is that satisfying to you, and why are you devoted to this work now?
Yeah, you know, there's an organization in Chester County called Camp Hill Special Schools, and I had met with the director, and we have come together, and we want to create this event where, say we go in and I choose a piece of artwork that one of the students who are, you know, they're severely handicapped or they're severely autistic. It just depending on what is ailing them. But they have a wonderful arts-driven program because it's healing and it's benefits to their everyday life, you know, that most people don't have the burden of. And I thought, I want to work with this school. I want their work to be on stage. So I proposed the idea that I would go in and select a couple students to work with, and I would mentor them as we create a dance based off of the feeling that we get together. Under my direction, the dance is set, but the inspiration is from the young student work that I see that they're working with. So when the project is finished, we present a good 20 minutes or so of physical dance, and it's that student's work that was the culprit of the whole feeling that we're getting. And I told myself that I would offer that as an outreach, because that's what fulfills me in terms of diving into the community and enriching our community. But it's really giving voice to people who aren't heard. And so that's another part of my heart that I want to offer.
What do you think their experience of this is? I mean, this is probably a whole world that they've never been privy to, never imagined they would participate in. What are they actually doing when they're working with you? And how do you think they feel about it?
Yeah, you know, for some of the children, I think it's difficult for them to connect, number one. And my experience is I connected through the art form. Again, I was telling you I couldn't verbally express what I was feeling, but I was feeling something. So let's honor that. And how do we bring it out? And so it is my hope that they are experiencing that physiological change as I did when I was moved by dance emotionally. They may not even be able to tell me in a verbal form, but I can sense it because of the body language and the emotions in the face and from what they're experiencing with how I felt seeing their work. So it works both ways. We don't have to speak. It's a very primitive form of communication, which is body language.
Do you get them up on stage and get them moving and see what they have? Are you teaching them movement, refining their movement?
We will. Yeah, we will get to that. We haven't done it yet because we're in the programming stages, but that is definitely in the books. So we'll see what develops out of that.
What do the parents have to say about this?
They're going to be completely thrilled. I mean, I've reached out to the community and asked, just walking down the street, what they felt, what someone would think of that. And just hearing that, they're just shocked that someone even has an interest in doing this. And then they said, you know, my sister has a handicapped child, and that would just make her world. And so that's a very genuine, authentic answer. I almost want to surprise the parents and have them experience this exchange with us. So then it's even more authentic in terms of how the creation starts, the process, and then the end. So that's very interesting to me. I don't want to give too much prep for the parent. I want them to experience something that I can read in that movement form.
There's some sort of vibrational quality to music, and I presume to movement as well, that taps into certain parts of our psyches that we don't even fully understand yet. We just kind of know that it occurs. I mean, I guess there's more neuroscience all the time about the various parts of the brain that are stimulated by things like music and vibratory experiences. But this sounds like it has so many layers of stuff for these kids. I mean, just the mentoring process, working with adult artists, and being in the atmosphere of a theater, and being asked to kind of move and communicate, and, you know, really stretching themselves in all kinds of ways. So I'm going to guess that the benefits that they're getting almost can't be measured to some extent. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'll see them and you'll enjoy them, I presume, as things move forward.
Mm-hmm. We will, yeah. And you know, what's so wonderful is that on the opposite side of giving these students that opportunity of experiencing something that they never would have even imagined to do, but then putting their work in a movement form, which they never would have imagined that they'd do. On the opposite side of that, we also work with young, talented, extremely talented kids, and they get the same benefit, but it really supports their endeavor in terms of the professional dance world. Hence why I got the conservatories, because it focuses on the dedicated student. It's the refinement in their dance training So the school is not a recreational school. It's for the dedicated who are auditioned and they're placed in the levels by myself and my staff. So there's that level to what I do as well. But when the two meet, it's incredible.
And this is a large community, this community of kids on the autism spectrum or with physical disabilities. There are lots of them out there needing special programs like this. Did this just come to you one day? I mean, this you said you heard about the school and that inspired you. Did you always know that you wanted to do something unconventional like this?
Yeah, for myself, I wanted to be that voice for them because I'm fortunate enough not to have the handicaps that they do or share. But I was handicapped because I was feeling emotion and I could not verbally say what I was experiencing, which was just immense sadness. And on some level, I know we all experience that. So again, it is my goal and my duty as an artist to be that medium for them. How can I assist them with the feelings that they feel? And why would I want to do this and put their work on stage? Because someone may say, oh my gosh, it's incredibly vulnerable. But I'm very experienced in this genre and this world of what I'm creating in terms of how healing art and dance and music is. So we work together and we highlight the benefit. We don't really make fun of it. We create something incredible. We want to cause change. We want to bring awareness to what the disease is and how the beauty of, and how beautiful we can make it in terms of where it can go. It's just not struggling, but it's actually artistic and beautiful.
I haven't asked you what style dance you like the most, and is this something that's integrating many different forms of dance and movement?
Yeah, I, as a lover of movement, I think, you know, there are artists who are particularly drawn to a specific genre, but I think a true lover of movement will enjoy all of it, and I do. My work is modern contemporary work. I love the classical ballet and technique behind the dancer so I can create in a very efficient way. But I also love Argentine tango, which is very, very enjoyable to witness, Latin styles of dance. I like Broadway jazz because that's for a fun feeling and you just want to go out to have a great dinner and enjoy this, you know, humor on stage, but it's just so playful and witty. And that's another great emotion to hang on to. And especially in troubling times, you want to have dance that resembles a happy feeling.
How would somebody find out more about your conservatories and the other work that you're doing?
Oh, gosh, I'd love for them to contact me and I'd give them a tour and sit in on a rehearsal and give them a tour of my theater and watch, you know, the young, talented dancers that I'm working with, what we do with them and for them. They can simply just contact me on my website, which is www.nickersonrossidance.com. And the best way to contact me is michael@nickersonrossidance.com to set up a tour.
Well, it was so great to have you in the studio to learn more about this exciting work that you're doing. And that beautiful new Performing Arts Center in Westchester is such a great venue for you to fill with your work. So congratulations on the programs and good luck moving forward.
Thank you so much for your time and giving me this opportunity to share. Also, thank you.
Our pleasure. Michael Nickerson Rossi, Creative Director of Dance for the Nickerson Rossi Dance Company and founder of Nickerson Rossi The Conservatory. To learn more about him and his community initiative program for challenged youth, go to NickersonRossiDance.com. Thanks for joining me this morning. You can email the show or browse the archive. Go to morefmphilly.com and click on Tell Me More. For 101.1 More FM, I'm Emily Shivert.